Our Father and our God, we give thanks this morning for the mercy and the grace that thou hast lavished upon us, that thou hast given us the privilege to gather, to worship, and to give thy name the praise. Holy Father, we now commit this time of preaching into thy holy hands. May thou be glorified as thy word is declared. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Perhaps you have had a similar experience. Here you are looking squarely into the face of a person that you know very well, but you can't just remember their name. And after stammering for a few minutes, they politely mouth their names to you. This temporary brain freeze, or shall I say temporary amnesia, is jokingly called a senior moment, a phrase used to describe momentary forgetfulness attributed to old age. And I guess the reason I am experiencing this brain lapses randomly is because I'm getting up there in age. But while it is definitely embarrassing to forget the name of a person you know very well, it is spiritually deadly to forget the Word of God. Now, when you take a survey of all the failures described in the Bible, whether of individuals or nations, you are bound to find beneath every failure or act of disobedience a subtle common denominator. And that common denominator is always the forgetfulness of the Word of God. From the very first failure recorded in the Bible, the fall of Adam and Eve, to the failure of Moses at the waters of Meribah, Numbers chapter 20, to the failure of David, Bathsheba, and Uriah, 2 Samuel chapter 11, the reason they all failed was because at the pivotal moment of temptation, they all forgot the Word of God. They all forgot the clear instruction of God to each one of them. Even when it comes to the failure of the nation of Israel, the psalmist will write, Psalm 78, verse 11. He said, they forgot his deeds and his miracles which he had done. Psalm 106, verse 21. They forgot their God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. And the ultimate consequence of their forgetfulness was spiritual captivity, both by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. You know, loved ones, this morning, in case no one ever told you, what I call spiritual forgetfulness is the greatest danger to our spiritual health. It is the gateway to spiritual failure. And whatever is a gateway to spiritual failure will always be an hindrance to God's favor on our lives. Now, as the Apostle Paul would remind us, since all these things happened to them as an example, that they were written for instruction upon whom the ends of the ages have come, I believe it is important and incumbent upon us this morning to be ever so vigilant against the pitfall of forgetfulness. Our spiritual wellness hinges on this notion of remembering the truth of our great God. But the pointed question this morning is, how do we become, as James would put it, Christians who look intently at the perfect law the law of liberty and abide by it, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. How do we avoid the pitfall of spiritual forgetfulness? Well, the Word of God that warns us of this pitfall also gives us prescription on how not to forget the Word of God. And this morning, it is this prescription that I want to draw your attention to as I go deep and explore this unique spiritual truth embedded in the Word of God. Now, before I go into the prescription, I think we need to first step back and try to understand the diagnosis. What do I mean by that? You got to understand, why are we always so prone to forgetting the Word of God? Let me put it differently. Why are we so prone to spiritual forgetfulness? While the Word of God is ample and is clear, why do we tend to forget it so quickly? Well, based on the experiences of the failures that we have in the Scriptures, I believe we can actually glean three very key reasons why we tend to forget so easily the Word of God. And the first reason is this: we are always prone to spiritual forgetfulness because of the powerful allurement of the flesh. Again, I think you need to capture this. You need to write this down. We are always prone to spiritual forgetfulness because of the powerful allurement of the flesh. Though in Christ Jesus, as the Apostle Paul indicated for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we are new creation, we are new creatures. The old things have passed away, behold, new things have come. Yet, says the same apostle, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, we have a responsibility. And the responsibility in Colossians 3 and 5 is this: we are to put to death in our members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, and idolatry. Now, the reason I believe the Apostle Paul used that strong language, nikostates in the Greek, to describe our responsibility, which means to put to death, that is a powerful language. I believe the reason the Apostle Paul used this powerful language is because of the powerful allurement of our flesh. If we don't radically deal with the allurement of our flesh, it has the power to sedate. Again, I want you to watch the verb. He has the power to sedate us to the truth of God, desensitizing us to the truth of our God, and by default, causing us to forget the instruction and the commandments of God. Let's take an example of David. You know, take a very closer look at the fall of David in 2 Samuel chapter 11. You know, you may wonder, why would such a man who walked so closely with the Lord, who knew the ordinances of our great God, why would he fall into such a sin? Adultery first, then murder second. Well, I believe it started at that pivotal moment of temptation when he was on his roof and he looked over and saw Bathsheba. You know, at that moment that he saw the image of that naked woman bathing, the allurement of the flesh set into motion, and David was sedated. Again, I want you to watch what I'm using, the language I'm using. I believe there was a sort of a form of desensitization at that moment, that all David could imagine and think was his fleshly desire. And the Word of God took the second burner. In other words, he forgot what the Lord said in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not commit adultery. When the event even happened and he wanted to cover his track, if for God, thou shalt not murder. I believe this is the very pivotal moment. It's the moment that the flesh in its allurement and in its power takes control in such a way that we are now desensitized to a state that we forget that that which is evil becomes so good looking to each one of us. This is one of the reasons why we are so prone to spiritual forgetfulness. And may I tell that to you, loved ones, this morning. This is true of each one of us, because there is still the residue within each one of us of that sin nature. There is still the residue of that flesh that flares up every once in a while and seek to gain mastery over us. That is why the Apostle Paul will now caution us that we should walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the allurement of the flesh, because the two are in conflict. Yes, you're a new creation, but you must learn to mortify those part of your flesh that rebels against God, because they can desensitize you to the things of God. There's a second reason I believe we can glean from the Bible here. Why are we so prone to spiritual forgetfulness? It is because of what I call the trappings of this world. You want to write that down. It's because of what I call the trappings of this world. In Mark chapter 4, our Lord Jesus told us a parable, the parable of the sower. You can also find it in a parallel narrative in Matthew chapter 13. But I want to look at Mark chapter 4 this morning. In this parable, the Lord Jesus said a sower went out to sow. And as it sowed, the seed fell on four different places. The first place was on the roadside. The second was among the rocks. The third was among the thorns. Then the last one was right there on good soil. Now, what I want to focus on this morning is the seed that fell among the thorns. Because in the translation, when the Lord Jesus gave us the meaning of this parable, he said to us in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, he said, "And others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, and the worries of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entered in and choke the word, and it became unfruitful." Pay attention to what our Lord Jesus said here. Now, though some commentators will assume that perhaps the Lord Jesus is alluding here to an unbeliever who hears and the worries choked it, but I beg to differ. I believe this is an example of spiritual forgetfulness. Watch what I'm saying here. The reason that we know that is because this person hears the word, but the result was unfruitfulness. Now, I want you to watch the interim of when he heard the word. When he heard the word, there was so much in terms of the worries of this life. There was the worries of the world. There's the deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things. And I believe this actually paints a very beautiful picture of Western Christianity, where there is so much worries and anxieties and deceitfulness of riches and desires of so many things that many enter a church on Sunday morning. While they sit in the pew and listen to the preacher preach, when they listen, half of the time their mind is wandering to different kind of things. Their mind is wandering, what am I going to do when I leave here? What am I going to make for dinner? Where am I going to go tomorrow? Where am I going to take my clothes to the dry cleaner? Am I going to take my dog to the vet? All this stuff are going through their mind, the worries of this world, that when the preacher comes on the pulpit and sows like a sower goes out to sow the seed, they listen, they hear, but the worries of this world choke the word out of them in such a way that they become forgetful, that they become unfruitful, that when they leave here, while they've come to church, while they've listened on the radio to Pastor Waller preach, because of the worries of the world, they become unfruitful because they're so concerned by the trappings of this world, and they become a forgetful hearer. This is one reason I believe many today in our contemporary church have become forgetful hearers. We are so concerned about every other thing that's going on in our world. We are so concerned about the deceitfulness of riches that it chokes the word out of us and it makes it unfruitful. That is one other reason why we experience spiritual forgetfulness. There is a third reason this morning also that we can glean from the scriptures. And that reason is simple. It is because of complacency. You want to write that down. It is because of complacency. You know, when you go back to Deuteronomy and you look at Moses' instruction to the children of Israel as they reach the threshold of the promised land, and Moses began to instruct the people before they enter the land. And in chapter 8, Moses now said to the people of Israel, he said, "Beware, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandment and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good homes and have lived in them, and when your earth and your flock multiply, your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplied, then your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." What is Moses warning the people of God about in this narrative? He's warning them about the danger of complacency, the danger of everything going well, and then you begin to take life for granted. And when you do that, you begin to take for granted the word of God. And that is how forgetfulness sets in motion. You know, the same is true in a marriage. You know, you get married and before you kind of get to woo a person, you do all the things you need to do. You know, you buy flowers, you open the door and everything goes well before you woo that person. And then you woo that person and you get married, and 4 years down the road, complacency sets in. You really don't care too much about whether the doors open, whether flowers are brought in every time, and you become complacent and you forget to do those things that you used to do in the beginning. You see what I'm saying this morning, loved ones? That is how forgetfulness sets in. The same thing is true spiritually. You know, you when you're going through your valley, you probably pray day and night, and the Lord made a way for you and everything became good, and you were living good, and you know, bills are paid, children are doing good, marriage is great, everything is good, and all of a sudden prayer time, "Oh no, I will do it tomorrow, I'm too tired." "Oh, Bible study time, no, I got something else to do, I'll do." And all of a sudden the things of God began to take the second spot. You begin to get so carried away in your complacency that you forget to do those things that are important. Loved ones, I truly believe there are so many of us today that have become complacent. And in our complacency, the things of God have taken the second back burner. And today, we can see us forgetting that truth that God calls us to. These three things are things that you and I must be guided against as it relates to the pitfall of forgetfulness. But let me flip the script this morning. Let me now move from the diagnosis to the prescription for wellness and healing. You know, how do I, as a Christian, avoid this pitfall of forgetfulness? You know, how do I become what James said, a hearer that listens, a person that's not a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer? Well, I truly believe also the prescription can be found where we find the diagnosis in the Bible. So let's go back to the Word of God this morning and look at what are the prescription for wellness as it relates to spiritual forgetfulness. First is this. I truly believe each one of us must have to begin with the realignment of our value system. You want to write that down, please. We have to begin with the realignment of our value system. Let me walk it out this morning so you can understand. You know, there is a difference between belief and value. Belief, by definition, is accepting something to be true. And I believe the reason all of you are sitting in this church this morning is that you believe that God is real, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe in his truth. I will assume that. On the other hand, value is a person's principle and standard of behavior, one's judgment of what is important in life. Now, when it comes to God and his truth, yes, it is good for you this morning to believe God exists. Yes, it is good for you to believe that his truth is morally right and we need to live by his truth. But that is not sufficient. Watch what I just said. That is not sufficient for obedience. That is not sufficient for obedience. What the condition that brings the sufficiency for obedience is value. You have to value God and his truth above all else. And when you value God's truth above all else, and it becomes the preeminent in everything you do in life, that means it becomes a controlling principle of everything you do. It becomes controlling principle of your conduct, becomes controlling principle of your speech, becomes controlling principle of your relationship. When God becomes that controlling principle in terms of value, then the notion of forgetfulness is minimized. Because God now becomes the filter through which you put everything through. The filter that you put your attitude through. The filter that you put your conversation through. When that becomes your value, when God becomes the all and all, that the value system that God sits on the pinnacle of everything you're doing, what you now discover is that you can't forget what is your value. You can't forget what is that controlling principle of your life. You will always have to put everything through the lenses and the filter of God's truth. That is what it means to be able to avoid the pitfall of forgetfulness. Even when you feel tempted, that at that moment that you can say, Lord, I got to run this temptation through the filter of the value system of God. Is God pleased with this? That I'm a married woman, I'm a married man, and I'm looking at somebody else. Is God value? Is God glorified? It is that value that you put in place that enables you to avoid the pitfall of forgetfulness. And the Lord Jesus himself will reiterate the notion of this value system. And I want to pay attention to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Here the Lord Jesus, in talking about being anxious and being worried, it now comes in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What the Lord Jesus was trying to prescribe for us there, loved ones, is simple. It's your value system. Seek first. Make God not only the source of your belief, that you believe in God, but make him the value, what you value most. That God becomes everything. God becomes a preeminence. When God becomes that, every other thing will be added. But apart from that, the likelihood of you forgetting becomes so minimized. Because everything about you is God. Now, you might say, Pastor Wiley, people will think I'm a holy roly. That's all right. It's all right. But you understand that this is necessary so that you don't become a forgetful hearer. And loved ones, I tender to you this morning, if every one of us this morning in this church was to put God at the pinnacle of our value, that everything we do is about God, we will change this culture for Jesus. We will change this world for Jesus. But I believe the reason that we don't see change even in the Church of Jesus Christ, even among those who profess to know Christ, is because our value system is out of alignment. There are other pressing needs that we put above God. I may attend to you this morning. Anything, watch what I'm saying, anything you put above God is an idol. And God is displeased with that. Second thing this morning I want you to do is this. How do I avoid the pitfall of spiritual forgetfulness? Strive for intentionality, not familiarity. Again, watch what I just said. Strive for intentionality, not familiarity. You know, in my few years as a pastor, one thing that I've found in most Bible teaching churches like our church here is that on the average, most of us are familiar with the scriptures. You know, don't get me wrong. There are churches out there too that, you know, Christians come to church and they're familiar with the scripture. You know, we know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, don't we all? Amen. We know the difference between Genesis and Revelation. I mean, that to me, I believe is a good thing compared to some out there that don't even know that. And we are familiar with the stories of the Bible. We are familiar with the person of Jesus Christ and his teaching on a very regular level. We know the stories of Jesus. We understand Psalm 23. We know all these things. At least we're familiar with all these things. But here is it. While it is good to be familiar with the scripture, to be familiar with the teachings of the scripture, it is not a defense against spiritual forgetfulness. Watch what I just said. It is not a defense against the pitfall of spiritual forgetfulness. Familiarity does not always translate to obedience. Again, you want to write this down. Because you're familiar with something does not mean that you obey those things or you do those things. And the Apostle Paul will identify this very interestingly, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. It said, "For among them are those who enter into household and captivate weak women weighed down with sin, led by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Verse 7, what Paul was trying to say, that, you know what, there's some in those churches that are coming into homes that they're holding and weighing down women that are weighed down by sin, but they're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is familiarity. And I have to say this, you know, some of you here in this Bible church probably are constantly learning, but are you coming to the knowledge of the truth? And I believe that on the contrary, what is needed more importantly for us to avoid the pitfall of spiritual forgetfulness is intentionality. Is intentionality. Be intentional to put into practice what you learn. Sundays, Bible studies on Wednesdays, Bible studies on Thursdays, Bible Institute that we hold in this place. Be intentional in putting those things to practice. That is how you overcome the pitfall of spiritual forgetfulness. Why? Because when you are intentional, when you are intentional to living right, when you are intentional to watching what you say, when you are intentional to watching who you associate with, when you are intentional about that, what you are trying to say is that I'm making active, I'm living the scripture, I'm living it out to the glory of God. I'm living it out in such a way that I know that the glory of God is seen in my daily life. That, to me, loved ones, is a way to avoid the pitfall of forgetfulness. Be intentional. And again, church, God is intentional about you and I. God is intentional about his purpose for our life. God is not a God of randomness. God is not a God of aimlessness. God is a God of purpose. And if God, and since God is intentional about you and about me, we got to be intentional about his things. And the powerful things about being intentional these days, when you are intentional to practice what you know to be true, the likelihood of forgetting becomes minimized. And then you'll be able to gain mastery over spiritual forgetfulness. Here's a final point, loved ones, this morning that I want you to write down. You know, to overcome the pitfall of spiritual forgetfulness, you must have to prioritize spiritual discipline and fellowship. Again, want to write that down. You must seek to prioritize spiritual discipline and fellowship. In the infancy of the church in Acts chapter 2, and in Acts chapter 2, look at verse 42. Here we are told of what those believers in that infancy of the church were doing. Acts chapter 2, 42 says, "And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer." Now, I want you to pay attention to that verse. That is a very important verse. I believe they're doing two things well in that early church among their believers. First of all, was spiritual discipline. One of the disciplines is this. They were actually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, in other words, the word of God. Number two, they were in prayer. That's still discipline. But also a unique one, they were breaking bread. They were performing the communion. They were in that notion of communion and coming together. But apart from that, fellowship. Fellowship. You know, spiritual discipline are those activities that we do that actually build up our faith. And one of those activities is what they were doing, devoting themselves to the study of to the teachings of the apostles. And what we have in the New Testament is nothing but apostolic teaching. You know, David said, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart so that I don't sin against you." You know, when you and I devote ourselves to the study of the word, devote ourselves to prayer, that we join in the breaking of bread, when we do that, and we constantly do that, and seek to constantly make it a purpose to do that, the more we study, the more we pray, the less we forget the things of God. You see what I'm saying? But you got to make it a priority. In other words, you just don't say, "I'm going to do it on Sunday when I come to church." Wake up in the morning. If you don't have anything, grab your daily bread. Read that little caption of the daily bread. Even if you don't have anything to read, turn to the scripture. Take a book. Go to the book of Psalm. Read one psalm a day. Or go to the book of Proverbs for 30 days. You can go through it all. And you can read one chapter a day. Devote yourself to the study of the word. Because the more you take in the word day by day, the more the word is able to transform you from the inside out. And then you devote yourself to prayer. But then don't forget fellowship. Fellowship is when we gather together. The writer of Hebrews said, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. We must stick with fellowship, because what fellowship does is to remind us of who we are, number one, and of our mission as believers. That is always a powerful impetus against forgetting. Because every time you come to church, every time you join a small group, every time you are now reassured. You are reaffirming to yourself, you know what? This is who I am. This is what Christ has called me to do. And I'm in small group as a pastor. I still join small groups. But in small groups that I join, it gives me the grace to grow more, but to always remember the things of God. And loved ones, this morning I tender to you, spiritual forgetfulness is a gateway to spiritual failure. And if you and I, to avoid spiritual failure, we must be able to shut that door of spiritual forgetfulness. We must be able to be men and women of God who takes the Bible seriously, number one, who hide this word in our heart. And like God told Joshua, we don't depart from this word of the law, but we meditate upon it day and night. We are going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season and its leaves never wither. And my brothers and sisters this morning, you might say, "Pastor Wally, remind me again." I'm reminding you now. True spiritual wellness will have to begin with remembering the word of God. When you become a good listener and not a forgetful listener, but an effectual doer, James said you will be blessed in all that you do.
And this morning I pray that you will remain blessed because you are an effectual doer. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we do honor thee and thank thee for the grace to open your word and teach from your truth. O Lord God of heaven, may thou be honored as thy word has been declared. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.